This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen Pro. Your cells expend immense energy to fight viruses. NAD, a vital coenzyme, helps fuel your cellular defense. However, NAD may decline by up to 80% after the virus invades, leaving your cells vulnerable. True Niagen Pro, also known as nicotinamide riboside, can increase NAD. It energizes your cells and promotes cellular repair. True Niagen Pro, cellular defense for life. For more information and to purchase, go to drhoffman.com/TrueNiagenPro. That's true, T-R-U, drhoffman.com/TrueNiagenPro.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. We've got podcasts all through the week, but this is a live program, and live means you can call us at 877-726-8255. That's the number to reach us during the program, and even when we're not on the air, you can go to 877-726-8255, and you can record a question, and we'll take some of your live calls. We'll take some of your recorded questions throughout today's broadcast. You're welcome to join us. The doctor's office is open. No social distancing required. We're going to waive the requirement that you wear a mask because this is virtual. Virtual medicine means that it's not communicable. 877-726-8255 is our number. And for many of us, the lockdown is unwinding, and people are emerging in droves because it's been a big civil rights week, lots of demonstrations, people out and about, and that kind of raises the specter of a potential resurgence, a spike in the virus. We'll have to see. It'll be interesting because if indeed all these people are gathering and marching, some with masks, some not, some social distancing, and some not, it was predicted that we were going to see a massive recurrence of coronavirus. But we'll have to wait. We'll have to see because there's a period of time, a latency period, where people who are exposed, the virus sometimes is asymptomatic for a period of time, and then it emerges. We'll have to see in a week or two if we see a spike, particularly in some of the metropolitan areas where there are lots of demonstrations, Minneapolis and Chicago and New York and Philadelphia are cases in point. But either way, there may be a hopeful outcome to this, which is that these folks who are sort of guinea pigs for re-entering society and removing some of the barriers to social distancing, well, these bold experimenters may prove that the virus is on the wane with or without these extreme measures to keep us isolated. We'll have to see again. All right, 877-726-8255. Questions related to anything, if some coronavirus is on your mind, we'll take questions related to that, or we'll take questions related to all the other usual maladies that people suffer from. They're not going away during this pandemic. And in fact, some of those problems may be made worse because lots of people are staying home. They're not exercising as much. They're spending a lot of time on social media. Social media, it turns out, can increase anxiety and depression and can actually make you gain weight, according to studies. And I'm kind of concerned because during this time, especially for our young people, being online, attending Zoom meetings, spending lots and lots of time on Facebook and Twitter, this is reinforcing digital dependency. And in the future, we'll need to safeguard against the digital dependency that working and learning online may have accentuated. Weeks of home confinement have caused a lot of people to rely on screens instead of personal contact and getting outside with nature. And I'm especially concerned about the kids and young adults for whom this is maybe going to become a lasting paradigm. They're eschewing the reality of true personal connection in nature. And the net result of that may be a decline in their mental and physical health. We're going to have to wean ourselves from screens once things return to normal. It'll never be quite the same because more and more people are realizing that they can work at home. They can attend Zoom meetings instead of those boring office meetings around a conference table. They can avoid the long commute and they can perform their work remotely. But more and more we're glued to screens. And is that going to have negative consequences for our health? Unfortunately, this is an experiment in progress. In the news this week, big controversy over hydroxychloroquine. What's the big deal? It's just a medication, but it is taken on a political dimension because our president early on embraced hydroxychloroquine as a potential cure for coronavirus and then disclosed that he personally was taking hydroxychloroquine. And depending on where you are on the political spectrum, it is an act of brilliance or it is the utmost buffoonery. So it's become politicized and, you know, really should be not. We should take a pragmatic approach to whether hydroxychloroquine works. And full disclosure, I don't know. I really don't know whether hydroxychloroquine plays any role whatsoever in either preventing COVID-19 or ameliorating the symptoms of people with that condition. I do have some personal experience through acquaintances and patients who took it. Some of whom say that it helped them surmount the infection, that from the time they took it, they noted a distinct improvement in their symptoms. But that may have simply been coincidence. By the time they got the medication, after a few days of being sick, they may have already been on the recovery path. So we need studies to determine whether it works. Well, there's kind of a big scandal brewing around hydroxychloroquine. A couple of studies came out recently, one in The Lancet, a prestigious medical journal, and the other in the New England Journal of Medicine, which demonstrated that not only was hydroxychloroquine not helpful, but hydroxychloroquine was harmful to patients taking it. It can, in some instances, cause heart arrhythmias, although many, many patients over many decades have been taking it. And doctors who prescribe it a lot tell me that it's an infrequent complication of having heart problems when you take hydroxychloroquine. It may be worse for very sick patients to take hydroxychloroquine. They already may have had damage to their heart caused by the virus, and they may be more susceptible. So that's certainly a possibility, is that people are getting sicker instead of better by taking hydroxychloroquine. This is kind of unprecedented, is that articles that disparage hydroxychloroquine were recently published. And in this atmosphere of urgency, we see rapid publication of things that probably weren't sufficiently peer-reviewed and vetted. Normally, you know, say I write an article, and I've done so for scientific journals, it takes months and months before the article is reviewed and approved. Sometimes they send it back and they ask questions and they say, can you fix this? Can you fix that? Can you disclose where you got this information? And there's a lot of rewrites before it gets into a journal. But not now, because it's a crisis. And in this crisis atmosphere, we need answers. So these articles were published very quickly in prestigious medical journals. So what happened this week? And I'm reading here from yesterday's edition of the Wall Street Journal. Hydroxychloroquine studies tied to data firm Surgisphere retracted. And this is kind of a weird situation because Surgisphere is a data aggregating company. And it's got a very kind of murky past. If you, you know, look for Surgisphere, it's hard to know where it came from. It has a mere handful of employees, and yet they claim, or they did before the retraction, to review the records of 96,000 patients across six continents, some of whom took hydroxychloroquine, some of them did not, and they compared the results, and they said that people did worse with hydroxychloroquine. But this is consequential, because when this came out, a lot of doctors stopped prescribing hydroxychloroquine. The World Health Organization ordered trials halted on hydroxychloroquine, although this week the organization said that it resumed the trials after the discrediting of the articles in The Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine. This is really a black eye for Lancet and for the New England Journal of Medicine. One senior scientist who had outlined criticisms of the study said, "This is a bit weird to have a very large study with just four authors and no acknowledgments. Also, when they asked for the data, where's the data? The company said, we can't give you the data." They based it on a survey that was anonymized. Then there were some other discrepancies, like if you look at the data from Africa, a country that's technologically, in many cases, more backward than the U.S. or Europe, the data was suspiciously similar to the data that we get from more modern advanced countries. So a lot of people, a lot of scientists, you know, regardless of their political persuasion, they looked at the study and they said, this is garbage. So the question remains unanswered. Does hydroxychloroquine work? Could it make a difference? In my opinion, years hence, it'll turn out that maybe for a small subset of patients at a certain phase in the disease, it might be beneficial, but it clearly will be outstripped by more effective targeted medications that can be used to fight a virus. 877-726-8255 is our number. We'll take your phone calls. We want to hear from you. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy to follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch. That's drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch for Biomega Fish Oil.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Study says greenery linked to less intense and frequent unhealthy cravings. This might be particularly germane to a phenomenon called the COVID-15. You might think I'm misspeaking. No, it's the COVID-19. We're talking about the COVID-15, like the freshman 15, the 15 pounds that you might have gained during lockdown. 877-726-8255 is our number. We'll revisit that story in just a moment. But we have a recorded question. Somebody called in with a question. Let's hear it.
Hi. Could you please discuss the benefits of melatonin for the body and what it does besides make you sleepy? If it's good to boost the immune system, you know, and how often to take it and how much. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, so melatonin... is a very, very interesting compound. And it has multiple effects. You know, like many things in the body, usually it's not like one thing that something does. So, you know, take anything like thyroid hormone or insulin or testosterone or estrogen or progesterone or DHEA. These things have a multiplicity of effects in the body. And melatonin is most associated with circadian rhythm. In the darkness, your pineal gland secretes more melatonin and thus facilitates sleep. That's one of the reasons why it's not a bad idea to black out your room if you're, say, you're a shift worker and you try to sleep in the daytime. You actually want to put your body into a circadian rhythm that favors sleep and relaxation. But the interesting thing about melatonin is it's also implicated in cancer prevention. Studies suggest that night nurses who spend a lot of time under fluorescent light have a much higher incidence of breast cancer. And it's thought that one of the reasons, in addition to the fact that they probably eat crappy diets, because what kind of great food is around at midnight in a hospital, that's, you know, part of the equation in terms of cancer prevention. Also, in relationship to immunity, melatonin isn't per se an immune booster, but there's some suggestion, this is from preliminary research, that suggests that the inflammasomes that are associated with bad outcomes in coronavirus can be inhibited by small amounts of melatonin. And you don't have to take tons of melatonin. You can take 0.5 or 1 milligram of melatonin. That's the usual dose that's used to help with sleep. For cancer prevention, more melatonin seems to be required. A standard dose in terms of cancer prevention for perhaps prostate cancer and breast cancer experimentally is up to 20 milligrams of melatonin. You know, melatonin also plays a role in digestion. And there's some studies that suggest that taking melatonin at night can help with people who suffer from late night heartburn and GERD. So melatonin, interesting substance. And there may be additional benefits in terms of other things other than sleep. 877-726-8255 is our number. You can call in. We're here. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255. We're dealing with, hopefully, the aftermath of the coronavirus pandemic. And there's some good news in that we don't seem to be seeing a second wave, a surge in cases of COVID-19. Well, it depends on where you are, but overall, the statistics show a downward trend, particularly here in New York, where I reside, and that's encouraging. It's moving us along to whatever phase one, phase two, the various, the unraveling of some of the restrictions that have prevented us from going out and about. There's some news from a couple of sources, from China, from Italy, and now from the United States. Doctors at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center say the coronavirus appears to be becoming less potent. That would be good news. And it's something that I talked about in our newsletter last week, is that there's a tendency for viruses eventually to peter out of their own accord. Some of it has to do with herd immunity. Enough people get sick, so they develop immunity. But some of it has to do with the intrinsic characteristics of the virus, because the virus is constantly mutating. And based on a study of the deadly 1918 Spanish flu virus, the H1N1 virus, that virus over years and decades underwent progressive mutations that made it not more strong, but less strong, to the point where it's become kind of an annual nuisance and not a devastating pandemic, as occurred in 1918, killing 50 to 100 million people worldwide. That's the specter that was hanging over us when this coronavirus hit. The researcher, Dr. Donald Yeeley, chair of emergency medicine at UPMC, I guess where they're seeing a lot of new patients in the emergency room, explained at a press conference this Thursday that people seem to be contracting the virus less easily, and cases appear to be less severe than when the pandemic first took hold in the U.S. early this year. He says the virus may be changing. Some patterns suggest the potency is diminished. Now, this by no means is settled science. Other people are saying, no, that's not the case. The virus is still potent and spreading and has the potential to surge again in a second wave. But there's some encouraging news that the virus may be abating. This item, your body, it turns out, is made up of trillions of cells, and each one is continually hard at work to keep you healthy and resilient. But to keep up with their essential work, a sufficient supply of an essential molecule called NAD must be available. But this critical cellular resource is not constant, so having safe, effective ways to boost our NAD is vital, especially during our current situation, because lifestyle influences such as poor diet, alcohol consumption, and lack of sleep, things that we're all likely to be experiencing more frequently during this time of stress, can all decrease your cell's precious NAD supply. Various types of physiologic stress, including stress in the immune system and lack of exercise, can also deplete our NAD pool. But you can safely and effectively elevate your NAD levels with a cellular support supplement, True Niagen Pro. True Niagen Pro contains Niagen nicotinamide riboside, which works to boost your NAD. In fact, Niagen is clinically proven to be safe, well-tolerated, and effective in boosting NAD. True Niagen Pro gives your hard-working cells exactly what they need to perform at their best and helps you stay resilient. True Niagen Pro's ability to increase NAD is backed by multiple human studies. I recommend it to my patients, and I use it myself. I don't go a day without my True Niagen Pro. To learn more about the research behind True Niagen Pro or to order, visit drhoffman.com/TrueNiagenPro. That's true, spelled T-R-U, drhoffman.com/TrueNiagenPro. True Niagen Pro is cellular defense for life. Okay, well, we're talking about the COVID-15, not the COVID-19. That's the 15 pounds that you may have gained during the lockdown. And raise your hands. How many of you out there? I want to see your hands. How many of you have not lost weight but gained weight during this period of time? It's more stressful. There's less opportunities to exercise, and there's more stress eating, frankly. Poor diet choices. People under stress tend to gravitate for comfort foods. But another factor is exposure to nature. Headline here, seeing greenery linked to less intense and frequent unhealthy cravings. They did the research at the University of Plymouth in the UK. They say here, it's been known for some time that being outdoors in nature is linked to a person's well-being. But for there to be a similar association with cravings from simply being able to see green spaces adds a new dimension to previous research. This is the first study to explore this idea, and it could have a range of implications for both public health and environmental protection programs in the future. What they're saying here is that merely seeing green from your window is associated with reduced craving, but also opportunities to access a garden or a community garden space, or to go to a park or public green space, was associated with a reduction in health-damaging behaviors such as smoking, excessive drinking, and unhealthy eating. So, you know, our task going forward is, you know, the weather's a little nicer and less threat of a virus. Get outside. Get your green quotient. You know, just drink your greens. See your greens, because that can help your psyche. 877-726-8255 is our number. And so, you know, now that the imminent threat of hundreds of thousands of deaths and the specter of hospitals overburdened with patients clinging tenuously to life on ventilators has receded for the time being, it's time to reflect on the lessons that this pandemic has left us. And the recurring theme for me and for others whose views I respect and have written extensively on this is resilience. How can we as a society and as individuals enhance our capability to withstand cataclysmic threats to our collective health? Well, you know, it's good that this problem will recede, but it's merely a dress rehearsal for some of the challenges the 21st century might throw our way. And we got to admit that in certain critical ways, we were woefully unprepared. And among the vulnerabilities that we had were the so-called comorbidities, like obesity, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and respiratory conditions. I bet you didn't even know the word comorbidity before this. We in medicine know what a comorbidity is. But the general public, comorbidities, you know, it's a brand new term. But what it means is conditions that render us more vulnerable to dying when our bodies get stressed with, say, a virus. And there's some interesting articles on this. One of the tests that I recommend that everybody get as part of a routine physical, and all too frequently it's not done, is something called a hemoglobin A1C. And prior to COVID-19, we were concerned about hemoglobin A1C because the higher your hemoglobin A1C, even if you're not diabetic, it's a measure of blood sugar over time. But even if you're not diabetic, a borderline hemoglobin A1C could put you at higher risk for heart disease and, more ominously, for cognitive decline. It has a negative effect on the brain, increases the risk of dementia and Alzheimer's disease, and also cancer associated with higher levels of hemoglobin A1C. You don't have to have full-blown diabetes. We know that diabetics have more infections, they have more cancer, they have more heart disease, more kidney disease, more strokes. That's for sure. But even short of being diabetic, a borderline hemoglobin A1C, say it's 5.8, that's not diabetic, but it's borderline, that can put you at risk. Well, recently Medscape highlighted this story: largest study to date links glucose control to COVID-19 outcomes. And there was a very, very distinct relationship between high blood sugar versus normal blood sugar in terms of risk of poor outcomes and death. And I'm quoting the study author here. Considering that people with diabetics had much higher risk for death and various complications, and since there are no specific drugs or treatments for COVID-19, our findings indicate that controlling blood glucose may act as an effective auxiliary approach to improve the prognosis of patients with COVID-19 and pre-existing diabetes. So the problem is we're not doing a good job coming to grips with the epidemic, and indeed we can call it a pandemic, of diabetes that affects tens of millions of people, hundreds of millions of people worldwide. And it's a lifestyle disease. It's a disease of sedentary lifestyle. It's a disease that is caused to a large extent by our way of life, our diets, even stress and lack of sleep contribute to the risk of diabetes. And doctors are not doing a good job of dealing with this. There's an article in Science News. Survey shows that many primary care doctors are unprepared to help patients avoid diabetes. What they're saying here is they basically wait till people get diabetes, then they put them on medication. But there's so many things that could be done short of putting people on medication, exhorting people to follow a better diet, to begin exercise programs, we're falling short big time in terms of identifying who's at risk and preventing that risk. And that's come to light in a very, very dramatic way during our coronavirus pandemic, that these individuals are precisely the ones who are most vulnerable to the devastating effects of the infection. So, you know, medication can help blood sugar in type 2 diabetics. But there's a study, and I go back to 2015, headline, Lifestyle Changes Superior to Metformin for Diabetes Prevention. They tested metformin in people who were pre-diabetic, and they tested a program of lifestyle change. And the metformin helped a little bit, but lifestyle change was by far superior in terms of preventing people from going down that dangerous pathway to diabetes and risk not just of COVID-19 complications, but more prevalent problems, heart disease, cancer, stroke, kidney disease, and so on. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
There's never been a more important time to ensure your immune system is operating at its peak. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a new natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, created exclusively to help promote a better immune response. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea. Future Farm's elderberry with zinc and echinacea is the first to combine these three powerful ingredients together. Elderberry is packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and may boost your immune system. Echinacea has been shown to activate chemicals in the body that decrease inflammation, and zinc activates T lymphocytes. Low zinc has been associated with increased susceptibility. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman.
It's not always easy for women to achieve better health, especially these days. The key is to work smarter, not harder. Be wise about weight loss and workouts. Eat strategically and take your supplements. I'm best-selling nutrition author Kat James. I've learned firsthand that probiotics are key to women's health. They protect your digestion, your immune system, your skin. They support balanced hormonal levels. And very important for both women and men, they counter the buildup of bad bacteria and yeast in our bodies. Researchers have even found that probiotics promote a more positive mood and mental sharpness due to the gut-brain axis. The one I take, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. It's a superior formula with prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotics, a smart advantage in these challenging times. Find Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics through Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other natural health retailers, also available online.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255. I was just talking to our producer, Al, about masks, and we were discussing those N95 masks, the ultimate mask, because these are the very self-same masks that hospital workers are told to wear. And so astute members of the public decided to corner the market on an N95 mask because it works for hospital workers, even though we were told, you know, don't use the N95 mask. They should be reserved for hospital workers. They need their PPEs. A lot of people obtained N95 masks. They did a study. Study cast doubt on N95 masks for the public. Now, so how you can say, you know, on the one hand, it's good for hospital workers, not good for the public. I mean, same mask, right? So if it confers protection in a hospital where there's lots of viral particles circulating around, why wouldn't it be good for, you know, somebody walking down, you know, Broad Avenue in an urban area? What they say here is that the lay public may have difficulty wearing N95 respirators properly because while they are very good filters, they have to be fitted properly to the face. And they did a study in Singapore. Participants were given N95 respirators with an instruction sheet and then asked to put one on. So what's the big deal? Put them in, you know, just like slip it on and, you know, the rubber band things in the back, you know, go to the back of your head. It's like idiot proof, right? Well, only 13% passed the visual mask fit test. And so what they're saying here is that about 3/4 performed strap placement incorrectly, 61% left a visible gap between the mask and the skin, and about 60% didn't tighten the nose clip. And those masks are so confining that a lot of people might be tempted to not put them on properly because, you know, it's kind of hard to breathe, especially when you're exerting yourself. Say you're trying to run or ride a bike. It's going to be pretty tough wearing an N95 mask. So there you have it. All right. 877-726-8255 is our number. And let's take one of our recorded calls. Let's hear it.
I have had allergies from birth. This has triggered asthma. I have been on a special diet since I was 10 years old. I can't handle perfumes. They trigger sinus and asthma problems. And likewise, I have recently discovered almonds was triggering my asthma. I tried taking albuterol and Nasonex, but both ended with worse conditions, plus high blood pressure and blackouts. Treated then with vitamin supplements, bromelain and quercetin, but after several years of problems with joints and inflammation, I finally figured out I was having problems with the quercetin. I'm suspicious of the mineral tablets that I've been taking, but helps with the prostate. You mentioned lutein as an allergy blocker. I am looking at Algonaut Pure Root. Do you see any concerns with it or have any recommendations? Thanks.
Okay. Well, this sounds like, the mother of all allergies. And, you know, you tell me in your question that you've already been on a special diet, and that diet may preclude some of the, you know, because even, you know, when you were younger, it sounds like you're a middle-aged individual, they were aware that things like wheat and dairy and eggs and in some cases other foods can be allergy triggers. So you may have been, from the time you're very young, already taken off some of those culprit foods. Look, this sounds like a typical day in the office. You know, patients present with very challenging allergy problems. You know, if they were easily treatable with antihistamines or a simple diet change, they wouldn't be coming to see me. It may be that you have histamine intolerance. That's something that quercetin generally helps. You discovered rightly or wrongly that you were sensitive to quercetin. The product that you mentioned, I'm not familiar with. The way to work with patients with histamine intolerance is with dietary changes. They also need a supplement called DAO, diamine oxidase, which helps their body break down excessive amounts of histamine. There also sometimes are issues related to the microbiome. Sometimes an overgrowth of yeast or harmful bacteria can set up an allergic response. And you may want to take lots and lots of anti-inflammatories, things like fish oil, which is, you know, generally pretty neutral, except if you have an extreme fish allergy, or higher levels of vitamin D, which is an immune modulator. That can be helpful too. Anti-inflammatories like curcumin can bring down allergic symptoms as well. So there you have it. There's some things that are worth exploring. But you sound like a complicated patient. You might need a specific workup to find out some of your unique needs and intolerances. 877-726-8255 is our number. And we're taking your phone calls. Plus, we have some recorded calls. You can call that number 24/7, 877-726-8255, and record a question. We'll field it here on Intelligent Medicine.